Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Alternalegal Podcast. I'm your host, Canyon Cody, taking you on a deep dive into the world of Latin alternative with in-depth conversations with legends like Juanes and Julieta Venegas, Café Tacuba, Natalia Lafourcade, and a new generation of young superstars like Omar Apollo, Danny Lux, Cuco, and Iván Cornejo, who have all stopped by our weekly radio program, Alternalegal with Subsuelo, broadcasting at the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 FM in Los Angeles. But on the radio show, we only have time to air brief snippets of those conversations. So here on the Alternalegal Podcast is where you will find the unedited, uncut, extended version of all those interviews. Follow and listen to the Alternalegal Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app.
And we are back. This is Alternalegal. Yo soy El Cañonazo, and I'm so excited because right now we have one of my favorite artists of all time here as our Artist Spotlight of the Week interview. How you doing today, Quantic?
I'm doing great. Doing great to be.
It would not be an exaggeration to say that you're probably the musician that has had more effect on my life creatively than any other that you have put out. What is this? You were coming up on your 20th record, something like that?
Something like that. Yeah, they're getting up there now. Yeah, there's a few out there.
I think that the adjective that is most often associated with you is prolific. You are somebody who has been consistently releasing music over the last couple of decades across so many different genres, from classic soul to dub reggae to cumbia to electronic music. And you have a brand new record that just came out, a collaboration with Nidia Gómez, called Almas Conectadas. Talk to me about this new record.
So this is a record that we've been working on for a couple of years now. I'm really proud of this record. I know that we're coming out of, or hopefully coming out of, this period where everyone's been in lockdown and there's a pandemic, and everyone, I feel like everyone's come out, a lot of creatives have come out of this period being like, it was really good for me, check this record out, and things like that. I feel like there's been a lot of pandemic records, and this is something that we started like way before in 2019, so it's been a real labor of love, maybe for like 3-4 years of just kind of chipping away at it and really trying to develop something special. So I feel, doubly happy to have kind of come out with this year. And in a way, actually, I personally forgot about how beautiful this record is. And it's a really exploratory experience. It's a lot more, the sonoric quality of it, I think it has a lot more kind of like deep, more sort of traveling themes to it, and I'm really happy. It's a record. It's the second record from Nidia and I. It's the second record we've collaborated together. Nidia lives in Colombia. I live in New York. She lives in Cali, Colombia. So this is the second record of us coming together.
Yeah, this is the follow-up, as you mentioned, to Curao, one of your guys' previous collaborations that I play all the time. I'm not sure if it's on that record. Is La Plata? Is that on Curao?
La Plata was actually on. So we have a few records. We have a record called Magnetica, which is a Quantic record that Nidia features on, and we have two songs on that, Muevelo Negro and La Plata, which is the song you talk about.
So you guys have worked together for a long time. I was wondering if you have a memory of the very first time you heard her voice.
So I was living around 2008. I was living in Cali, Colombia. I'd moved there kind of for a brief spell. I just wanted a break. And I was living in the UK and a little bit in Puerto Rico after that. And I just really, really wanted to kind of just like have six or seven months in Colombia just to really kind of take in and understand the culture and music, and just it kind of really just get an education about the musical culture there, being a musician and avid music collector. And, you know, I'm into the kind of a lot of different sounds. I just wanted to get kind of connected. So I, a friend of mine, a little older than me, she had a restaurant, successful restaurant owner, friend of a friend, and she had her grandmother's house. And she's like, oh, if you want to rent it, we actually have it for rent if you want to rent this for like a short-term rent. So I was renting this house, beautiful little patio in the back. And I would go out, and every time I was like just hanging out in the back garden and just like kind of taking a breather and listening to the birds and or doing some washing, because the washing is always in the back of these Colombian houses. You have this little washing unit. The next door neighbor would be playing this song, and I would just hear it all the time. And it was like, and it's like this line just kept on coming out, and he kept on like rewinding the song sometimes too. And I was like, well, who is this guy? And then I got to meet him, and he's Hugo Candelario, who had a very legendary sort of marimba player and songwriter and sax player and singer. And he had a band called Grupo Bahia. Anyway, so it turns out that this song was a song by Socorro, which was the band that Nidia kind of came out of, grew up. It's a group from Timbuktu, and she's the lead singer on that track. And it's really actually the song that kind of really encapsulates her sort of voice and skills. Yeah.
So we are talking with Quantic right here in Alternalido, and we are discussing music and memory, the way that songs, relationship to your past, and your memory of them. And so I want to take a step back before we get into this new record and talk to you about your earliest memories of music in the house. What was the kind of sonic space when you were growing up with your family?
So I grew up in a small a town called Bewdley. It's in Worcestershire, the state. It's kind of the region, county, and it's pretty much dead center. It's like West Midlands, so it's near the border of Wales, just pretty much like in the middle of the UK. And both of my parents were avid folk musicians. My father was Welsh, and he used to play on a Welsh TV folk TV show every week, and my mother also played and sang. So, and they both founded a folk club in Cardiff when they were there. And so I grew up with a lot of music in the house, my sisters singing as well, but mostly pretty much until like the late 80s, early 90s, it was all very acoustic, and I just didn't really have any exposure to that much kind of amplified music. And then suddenly, I don't know where my dad just got into like Dire Straits and not actual Dire Straits, the band Dire Straits. and I don't know, like a bunch of sort of electronic, more like guitar, rock music, and bought a hi-fi. And then I suddenly just got into, exposed to like record culture when I was kind of around, I don't know, 11, 12, so.
And, you know, a lot of the people who we talk to on this show, and this is an experience that I went through myself, kind of went through a period of resenting the music of their parents when they were growing up and getting into something else and then kind of coming around to it later. What was your relationship to your parents' kind of folk music when you were growing up? Did you love it, or did you think it was dorky?
Man, you know what? I don't have any resentment for the music at that time. I loved it. And I think that my dad was a real American kind of music lover too, so he exposed me to a lot of, or just encouraged me to kind of just check a lot of American artists. So was my mother, really. I just kind of just like really open to everything, and also kind of encouraged to always go to concerts and like try different music that I didn't know, and like kind of very passionate about just like, hey, there's a, I don't know, Rastafarian poetry reading this afternoon, or there's a you know, a Baroque kind of classical concert, or there's this or there's that. And I think I just had a tremendous, it's good exposure to a lot of different things. But I think just growing up in the 90s and sort of tape culture being a big thing for me, and just kind of getting it's like we would just borrow tapes from the local library, so you could go and put in tapes, tape requests from other libraries, and that you would wait a week and then they would come, and then you could go home and like record. Basically, you would just do a pirate copy of the tape and take it back to the library. So
hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price, so that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed's Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Yeah, I have ripped a lot of CDs from the library over time. I was always so amazed when I discovered, because, you know, I would just kind of like, I think a lot of young people, I would just want to go to the mall and buy a CD, and it was very expensive. And then one day I found out that there was a record store where all the records were free, and it just blew my mind as a young man.
Yeah, no, and totally. Yeah, should we be professing to such levels of piracy on live radio? I don't know, but
I think the statute of limitations on me stealing that Naughty by Nature CD. And the other great thing about it was that it was not all just kind of like conservative music. Like, I remember checking out just like straight gangster rap CDs from my local public library in the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, I remember going standing with my friend at the library counter and going, I'd like to order a tape, please. And she said, okay, name of the artist. And I said, Megadeth. And she said, okay, and the title, Killing Is My Business and Business Is Good. Okay, William, that tape will be with you in a week.
but let's talk about traditional record stores. You know, you have such a history of releasing vinyl. I mean, I think at least probably about 10% of my go-to gig vinyl collection is records that you've released. Was there a record store in your hometown that was a major influence on you?
Yeah, so growing up, there was a small record store in the town I grew up, which was a very, very small town. But there was a town around 3 miles away that is actually the record store is still there. I'm really happy that actually my childhood record stores are still going, which is kind of a cool thing because a lot of record stores, you know, come and go. So one is called Mr. T's One Stop Rock Shop, and that is still standing. And sadly, the owner passed away a few years ago, but he was a big Northern Soul collector, big fan of like Detroit and Chicago blues, soul, and all the kind of Motown kind of years stuff. So he always had that stuff in stock, and I kind of really got to cut my teeth with a lot of like that kind of sounds there. And then there's another store which is still going in Birmingham, UK, which is another nearby town, which is called The Discory, and that's also still rocking and great selection, good reggae, good, yeah. So I've always been kind of into the idea of also spending time in record stores. I think the cool thing about independent record stores is you can go in there and you can kind of, you know, they'll make you a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and you can kind of like saunter around, and there's this like aspect of the store that's like, you know, you could be a kid, just a spotty kid. He's like, kind of just like wants to hear good music and kind of hang around the store and educate themselves. And it's like, you don't necessarily have to be buying something. Mm. And you know, they know there's this like holistic approach of like a community thing where it's like, yeah, you're probably going to end up buying records here. But it's cool for now. You know, we're just happy to have you here. So.
Yeah, that was something in my childhood that probably started in like comic book stores, and then a little bit later in like baseball card shops, and then record stores, where you were allowed to be there without necessarily buying something. And I feel like nowadays the only thing that's like that is, you know, almost like maybe a coffee shop, you know, like you still have to buy something, but you can stay there for a long period of time.
But so, you know what? I would disagree, because I think that it's also about, you know, we often look at back at those things in our childhood and we kind of sort of think about them as being unique to that time, but they're still there. You just have to kind of still present that kind of activity. So I'd say there is, like, there's a huge, really cool record store called Human Head in New York, which is right by my studio. And I often go there, you know, pick up a few records. Maybe I'll just buy some stuff out of the dollar bin or $5 section. And just to kind of like, I often just buy a little bag of records, come down, listen to them, and just take them back and give them back, and then just like buy some more. And it's just a process of just getting exposed to music and just discovering new music.
So we are talking to Quantic right now, who has a new record collaboration with Nidia Góngora, Almas Conectadas, and we're going to listen to the first song from this record. This is called Balada Borracha. That was Balada Borracha from Quantic and Nidia Góngora. And tell me a little bit about how that song came together.
So a lot of these songs were penned kind of long distance. So Nidia in Cali, me in New York, and she had a show in New York, actually with Hugo Candelario with Grupo Bahia, and she came to New York to play with him and had a few days off, so that's when we got to do some recording here. But La Balada Borracha, it speaks about sort of this like drunken character. There's a lot of these kind of characters in the town Timbiquí, where Nidia grew up, which is in the Pacific side of Colombia. It's a coastal town next to a river, and there's just a lot of like personalities like this that are kind of like drunks that just, they're wonderful drunks. They're just like people who are wonderful and you like them in your life, but they're just kind of, yeah, they're just in this drunk kind of world. And I really love a lot of the images that Nidia conjures up about this, and about this kind of guy coming up and down the stairs and gradually getting more inebriated that he can't quite climb the stairs, and he's falling down the stairs. So
And so this is a collaboration album between you and Nevia, in which you are, 50% producing the music and she is, singing the songs. When you are making the music, do you sometimes have kind of narrative stories that you feel this this music is connected to?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of the time, Nidia and I discuss lyrics, and she's a tremendous lyricist and really great writer, which is also, I mean, that's a really amazing thing because she has such a strong voice too. But I think it's, you know, sometimes you don't get the kind of two things together, and she's a great innovative writer. And also, I think she wrote something else for this song, and then I was like, that's cool, but I kind of feel like we have something like that, we've done something like that, do you want to explore something else? And she did, and she actually wrote, I think she came to the studio having written something else, but then I was like being picky and said like, oh, would you mind, you know, trying a different approach? And she did, and she's a super quick writer, and that's a great talent of hers. And I think often we talk about the music too, and kind of like the idea of the music, and how the sort of what the vibe is, and kind of where how we feel, and it's a lot of with music making and collaborations, it's a lot about like trusting your imagination, because all of the things you're conjuring up, they're imaginary, you know, until they become reality in music. And often the process of then playing them on stage, and like it's just this whole thing that comes, it starts in the imagination, and you need a lot of trust in that process, I think, with a collaborator, just to be like, okay, this might be a little foolish. And I would say one more thing is that most of the people I collaborate with that we have success, and I feel like we make good art together, is because we joke a lot, and there's a lot of just joking around and like, let's just try this and haha, or what if it was this, and it comes out of a humor, which is often really nice.
So we talked a little bit about your roots as a DJ and as a record collector, and I wanted to talk now about your history as an instrumentalist. What was your first instrument that you got as a child?
So I got I just grew up playing. My dad was a banjo player, so there was a lot of banjos and guitars in the house, so I would just play his instruments and play just things that were around the house. We had a piano in the house, and I thought I learned piano, but I recently was going through some of my mother's things, and she'd kept the piano workbook that I went to the piano teacher and I looked through that workbook, and it was like just a kind of like a diary entry, and it said like, William played tambourine this lesson, and then I'd move to the next page, and the next week it said William was very passionate about playing tambourine this thing. And I was like, hang on, like I was going to these classes and no one realized I was just playing tambourine the whole time. So piano I've never been able to really figure out, but I guess tambourine I've got an affinity for by the looks of things. And yeah, so guitar, bass, and it definitely came from a sort of string playing family, and that's actually been really nice to, I've been transitioning more into arrangement and string arrangement, and working with strings, and of which there are quite a lot on this record, kind of more of a symphonic kind of string element. But yeah, I would say guitar would be my first instrument.
And then, over the years, I've started to see you more on stage with the accordion. Talk to me about the process of learning to play the accordion.
So, yeah, I've always had like accordion kind of, we had an accordion growing up. We had one in the house, which I guess we would have called a melodeon, because it's more of a sort of in Irish music, it's considered a melodeon. But yeah, I've always had a curiosity for the instrument, and then living in Colombia for a long time, I picked it up there. I really love the Colombian approach, both Panamanian, Colombian, Brazilian approach to accordion. There's a whole world of sort of syncopation that doesn't really exist in so much in the sort of more like Northern European, like French and English approach to accordion. So I really enjoyed learning and the syncopation and just the element. And actually, I'm a big fan of, obviously, of tropical music from the Caribbean and the Caribbean coast of Colombia. So cumbia and porro and all these different types of music that have vallenato and paseo and son that have accordion. So it was kind of a dream when I figured out that I could play those songs and learn them, because it's like, for me, it was a little bit like printing money or whatever. I was like, I can have the record, but I can also just like learn to play the song. And it was such a rejuvenation of like being able to learn to play the song and just hear it from my own fingers. It was such a delight. So I ended up kind of getting into that more. And yeah, I'm still playing a lot. I haven't been playing really any on stage, but I've been recording a little bit, and I still try and play as much as possible. So.
And, you know, that process that you talk about, you know, realizing that you can just, you know, play or learn and then play the songs coming from records is something that I've seen kind of as a pattern in your career, that there is a bit of kind of reverse engineering some of your earlier records that are kind of based more on sampling, and then later in your career just kind of like replaying things. And so I wanted to talk to you about your relationship with sampling and with covers.
Yeah, so I would say like I was a big you know, I was into soul music growing up, probably from 15, 16 on. I just kind of got into soul and 45 collecting, and also reggae, but a lot of soul. And then when I was sort of in my early 20s, I started the Quantic Soul Orchestra, which is this project sort of playing a lot of that kind of soul funk era stuff and trying to make new ideas with it, and kind of a new approach. And a lot of that was also, yeah, trying to create songs that I felt that, you know, I didn't need to sample. Maybe I could like process drums in a way that I didn't need to sample old drums, or my education is as a sound engineer, so it's always from a root of like the sound of things, and that's kind of what really gets my ear. So I love the sounds of things. Like a good song for me is not just the lyrics and the song, it's like the recording. Like I think that it's a big factor, and I think that things can be tastefully recorded but not be good songs that sound okay. But if you have a really good song and a really well recorded song, those two converge and make this like other thing, which I think makes a song just stay in the ether and just stay around. And I think you can say that about all the classic recordings that we know and love that we hear on radio. They still play because they're great recordings, and they somehow captured the energy and the intention of the song. So yeah, sampling is an interesting one. It's interesting because I have one song that is called Pushing On, and mm-hmm. that is from the album Pushing On from the Quantic Soul Orchestra, and that actually got picked up. I wrote this kind of little thesis on my first Quantic Soul Orchestra record about giving back, and how it should be something about like, we've sampled so much, so you know, let's make new samples and make new material. And that's one song that just keeps on getting sampled, and it's been sampled over and over again, and it's been interesting to see that how that intention kind of came about is actually happening. So
did it have a different emotional experience on the other end of being sampled than maybe you anticipated?
You know, I can't, not really. Sometimes it's interesting, like, it's an interesting experience, and I now really understand what it's like to be somebody, I mean, only a little bit, but, like, I understand, like, how weird it must have been for somebody like, I don't know, James Brown, or somebody who was, like, so omnipresent, like, his samples were so omnipresent, and they were everywhere, and you could, he almost became something like a fabric of, it's just, he just changed, like, and it's so weird, and I've had a handful of experiences like that where I'm just walking along and I can hear my song and I'm like, oh, that's not my song though, that's actually in another song, but it's a use of my song in that song. And I'm like, whoa, it's a real, you know, having sampled a lot myself in when I was in my first few records, it's definitely changed my outlook. But I think it's cool. I think if it pushes your music on into a new generation and new people hear it, and you know, maybe my label might feel differently about that, but I think it's just great. I think it's cool.
Well, I'm glad you have that kind of positive attitude, because I have known a lot of people who have, you know, been sample-based musicians their whole life, and then as soon as somebody samples them, then they start to get real defensive and you know, feel violated.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like a new generation of like concept, like you know, we're several generations deep of like what is sampling, you know, what is you know, maybe if we're coming into sampling in the sort of early 2000s, in the era of sort of, you know, DJ Shadow and mm-hmm. that, all that stuff kind of starting to happen, it's like there was a competitive nature, and there was also And I think that the felt that like there should be sort of some laws or some like it had to be like really deep cuts or the, you know, stuff that was obscure. And now it's like we're in this period of where it's like open season. It's like, well, you can just like sample something off YouTube. You don't need to have found the record or like have, you know, everything is in this, in the streaming platforms is available. So you don't have to go and have this big, it's not like a big search. So, but that's cool too. You know, I mean, you just got to make good music, man. Like, and if you're in a position to credit those people, then even better.
And you know, you talk about competitiveness and you've participated in two music genres that have very active scenes of competitiveness from, you know, Jamaican music and Cali has, you know, a whole culture of bands competing against each other. Do you have a sense of competitiveness in your creative output, kind of in the way that you hear about, you know, the Beach Boys and the Beatles?
I mean, I think it's cool to always just try and rise above and like hear. So, yeah, a little bit. I'm not really a competitive person, but I do think that there is important thing, especially within, for example, a good example is maybe, you know, with beat making, like in the simplicity of just making beats in whatever, in Ableton or making beats for, you know, whatever, whether it's reggaeton beats or trap beats or this or that. Like, I think it's really healthy. You know, when I was started making beats, I had like a crew of four or five people that we would just like play beats to each other all the time. And we'd just be like trying to like better, you know, get one up on each other. And I think that's cool too. It's like, you want to, I play a lot of my own music out in a club and I want to, it's funny because two things often happen. One thing is I'll play a song that no one knows and I'm just working on. And if people who know my music, they may come up, like friends and stuff, they'll come up and be like, oh, what was that? And I'll be like, okay, cool. I still got it. People ask you about it. The other thing that happens, which is crazy, which is has happened to me quite a lot, is I'll play a song that no one knows, which is mine, and it's going to come out. I'll play it and people will come up and complain and say like, oh, what, like, why are you playing this? Like, play this like Quantic song I know or whatever. And like, why, you know, why are you playing all this music we don't know? Or whatever, I don't know. Or just not. And then I've seen those same people come back like a couple of years later and being like, whoa, that's so cool. So I think it's the ears are an interesting.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Thing.
So we are talking with Quantic about his new record, Almas Conectadas, a collaboration with Nidia Góngora. And this is the new track, El Avión. Talk to me about this track, Quantic.
So this song is, has some salsa energy to it, which is obviously Cali is known for. So El Avión talks about the aspirations of women and how they should, you know, is Nidia really talking from her perspective about her personal career and her choices, life choices, and how she's just kind of imploring women to not be held back. And she's basically saying, like, I'm getting on this plane and you can get on the plane too. And we're going to take this stuff to the next level. We're going to bring it forward and bring us forward. And I think it's sort of really talking about, it's an empowerment song. And Nidia, I think Nidia is in a place now in her life where she's deeply spiritual. She's become a real figurehead as well. And I think she's become a real figure for a lot of women in Colombia and worldwide, but she's really has become this strong female character and leader, especially now that Colombia has been going through some really difficult times with, you know, the strikes and things and a lot of the political turmoil that's been going on over the last couple of years. Obviously, with a backdrop of like even more political stuff over the last few decades, but so she, you know, Nidia is such a strong figure, and I think this song really shows that.
That was El Avión from Quantic, our artist spotlight of the week, talking to him right now from his studio in Brooklyn. And that is your collaboration with Nidia Góngora, just came out a couple of weeks ago. You have a history of collaborating with a lot of the artists that we play here on Alternalido. So I want to have just a little lightning round right now where we run through some of my favorite artists who you've collaborated with. And you just tell me a little story or a little feeling or a little memory about working with these people. All right.
All right.
Nicodemus.
So Nico, based in Brooklyn, amazing producer, DJ, probably my favorite DJ in the world. I would say, I have to say, after this year, being in Brooklyn a lot more, seeing him play, this man is a badass, officially.
And so we're asking Quantic about collaborations. Talk to me about working with Anna Tijoux.
So Anna and I have been friends for years now. We first met in Texas at South by Southwest after kind of a lot of back and forth. And man, she's a comedian. She's like, if I'm down, she can just like crack a joke and I'll just be in stitches. She's such a funny woman. Highly talented, amazing writer also and producer, and obviously also, you know, from a political activist point of view as well, is incredible. We've been working on some, slowly like tinkering on some new music over the last few years, which we're pushing forward slowly, but she's amazing.
All right, so we are talking to Quantic about collaborations in his career. Mario Galeano.
Mario and I, so Mario, for those who don't know him, he's the leader of a band called Frente Cumbiero. And this is a great kind of punky cumbia band from Bogota, and Mario has been a big inspiration to me. He's an amazing musician. I love his compositions. Very forward thinking, and I think, you know, what was really, I think, just knowing Mario, like, I think that his time, he spent a lot of time in the Netherlands, and I think he was exposed to a lot of things about like performance art and also like the Dutch approach to kind of digital cumbia and the sort of early Dicky Demasiao, is that the guy's name? I think he wrote a thesis about cumbia in the 90s. And anyway, so very forward thinking dude. And Mario and I had the chance to collaborate. Well, we've collaborated a lot over the last few years, but we collaborated on one project called Onda Tropica that was a collaboration around 2014. We've done two records together under that moniker and brought together a lot of different Colombian musicians and made some really beautiful music together.
What about your work with Sharon Jones?
So Sharon and I collaborated on a song. I don't know when that was. I have to look back. with Grey Boy, way back. But yeah, incredible. I actually saw her perform at her final concert in Brooklyn, and yeah, an amazing, amazing performer.
So we are talking with Quantic about his new record, Almas Conectadas. We're coming up to the end of the show. We got time for one more song, and we're going to listen to El Chiclán. What's the history of this track?
So El Chiclán talks about these characters, again, sort of a little bit of a trope from Nidia's town of Timbiquí, but these sort of grown men that she knows that it's kind of a joke, which is about a Chiclán refers to somebody, a man maybe in his 30s who hasn't had children and is a bit more kind of maybe a playboy and is sort of like forever a boy and not you know considering having children, which is I think she has two children and she's kind of making a joke about, you know, people we know and who are just, you know, continue a, sort of a bachelor life into their 40s. So yeah, it's a very tongue in cheek song, but with a strong message.
That was El Chiclán from Quantic and Nidia Góngora from their new record, Almas Conectadas. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Quantic.
Right, Canyon, such a pleasure. Thank you so much for all the support over the years. And yeah, beautiful. It's really nice to hear this record again and talk about it and reveal some little nuggets about it.
Well, I mean, one of the things that is wonderful is when you can trust something, you know, you always know the sun's going to come up in the morning and you always know there's going to be a new Quantic record next year. So you got to come back on the program whenever that comes out.
Okay, cool. I'll get ready for the return.
So this has been the Artist Spotlight of the Week interview with Quantic right here on Alternalido. We are going to be back in just 2 minutes with a fresh Batido mix from my man, DJ Etos.
Thank you for listening. This has been the Alternalido podcast. My name is Canyon Cody from the Subsuelo crew, inviting you to join us over on the radio show where we play new music every Sunday, 11 p.m., broadcasting out the world famous K-Rock 106.7 FM in Los Angeles or streaming on the free Odyssey app. You might find your new favorite song on the radio show, but then come back here onto the podcast and maybe find your new favorite band. Follow and listen to the Alternalido podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.